This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And for now, it is just me, Scraby. Thanks, everybody, for joining us here today. As Chris said a little bit earlier, it's going to be one of those days. Chris is out in Vegas calling the Aztecs women's. They are in their second game of the Aztecs women's basketball tournament. So if they win, they move on. If they lose, Chris will be headed home. And Tony is calling the Padres game right now that is happening against the Mariners in Peoria. So if you are looking for those two guys, you're going to have to wait a little bit for Tony. And we're going to actually see if Tony can get on the show and all that stuff, depending on how long the game goes, all that stuff. But Chris is going to be here interspersed throughout. I don't know if that's the actual word, interspersed, but I'm going to use it right here. And we will have a daily gambit. Chris and I did go over the bets that we made last weekend and also talked about some bets for tonight. But interesting chat going on right here on YouTube, the YouTube chat. If you want to join us, just search 97.3 The Fan in YouTube. And I want to ask everyone why the simple mentioning of Bob Melvin sends everybody into a tizzy. Because for me, I really don't think it means it. I really don't think it makes a difference anymore, to be honest. It doesn't matter. We've moved on. Everybody's in their new places. And I'm not saying that you can't have, you know, you can't be upset about it. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, have your opinions about Bob Melvin. That's fine. But there's no reason to argue about it. And I'm not saying people are arguing in the chat. It's just every time something is mentioned about Bob Melvin, I feel like the frustration level goes up a little bit. And it was, I don't know that every single conspiracy theory that is out there about Bob Melvin, I don't know that, like, I can't say any of them are true, but I don't know that a lot of them are true. By the way, excuse me, if you want to hear some conspiracy talk tonight on the Scraby Show around like 6:40 or so, I'm going to be getting into this Kate Middleton craziness. It is actually crazy. I don't like the Royals. I don't talk about the Royals, but it is actually crazy. But anyway, Bob Melvin, he, you know, there were things said about him. There were things said about others. And it's just one of those things we'll probably never find out the actual reasons and actual things that were happening behind closed doors. So I'm a Bo Mel fan, huh, Scraby? No, never said that. I did like Bob Melvin. I thought he had a good temperament. Maybe it wasn't right for the team, you know, but people could still be Bob Melvin fans. I'm just saying that it goes from 0 to 60. That is what I'm saying, is that it is happening when you mention Bob Melvin. It's either he's kind of polarizing here in San Diego. Chance said he let our pitchers hang themselves. See, I don't think that's the truth. You don't know all the, and this is not me saying I'm a Bob Melvin, you know, defender or anything, but my mind, when I see a statement like that, immediately goes to, well, how do you know that Josh Hader couldn't come out of the bullpen because he didn't want to? How do you know that it wasn't Josh Hader hanging out his teammates in the game? How do you know that they didn't just have anybody ready? That's my first thought whenever I hear about decisions that are made in game. There's so many things that we don't know. And I do sound like I'm coming off as a big old Bo Mel supporter right now, but I didn't mean to when I set out talking about this. All right. With all that said, with my Bo Mel love behind us, we now have some Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit, our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Chris is out in Las Vegas right now, as we know, and hopefully...
And that's where everybody gambles responsibly, yes.
Everyone does. No one has issues with gambling.
No, none at all.
All right, that sounds good, though. I'm excited for it. But we actually made... I don't know if you remember on Thursday, it was the day of the soccer tirade, I'm going to go back and call it. Yeah. We made some bets in the Premier League, the English Premier League.
I do remember that. I must tell you, I did not follow the games to see how I did.
I did follow the games. So here we go. Manchester United and Everton. These were all like money line type bets. Chris, you chose Everton and I chose Man U. Man U wins 2-0. So I won that one.
I took Everton because the owner of the team once gave me a jersey.
That's right.
I had no insight into that match at all.
I forgot about that. Next one, Bournemouth against Sheffield United. You said a draw, plus 450. I said Bournemouth, and it was a draw, Chris. That was a good one for you, plus 450. That was a good
win. What was the final score? 1-1?
Oh, 2-2.
2-2.
Stop taking backhanded shots.
Scoring fest.
I almost said golf because I'm so used to defending golf. Now I have to defend soccer. Next one.
That's a big hit. Plus 450, man. That makes a lot of money.
It does. A draw right there. Yeah, that does make a lot of money.
All right.
Wolverhampton and Fulham. You said draw again. I said the Wolves. And Wolverhampton won 2-1, so I win that one.
You said the Wolves.
Yes, they are the Wolves. They are nicknamed the Wolves. Wolverhampton, you can call them the Wolves. I confirmed over the weekend.
Yes, you did.
Crystal Palace and Luton Town. We both chose Crystal Palace. We should have said draw because it was a 1-1 draw. Man,
I only got one right.
Yeah, that's not very good. I got two right, but still not very good. The other bets that we made on Friday, Boise State at the Aztecs. Aztecs were 7-point favorites in this one. Boise State, as we know, ended up winning 79-77 in overtime. So, Chris, you win the bet. I lose the bet. Yeah. But we already talked a little bit about that.
It was a heartbreaker again for the Aztecs who've started to lose all of their close games.
Not a fan.
They used to win close games.
Yeah.
But now they're in a streak where, what do they say? Water is finding its level. You know I love to say that.
I didn't know this was going to be such a theme to the show, but I invite it. Yeah. USD and Pepperdine in the West Coast Conference Tournament. Chris, you chose USD. Pepperdine with 3.5-point favorites. I chose Pepperdine saying they're going to do it for their coach. But USD ended up winning 57-52, so good for them. UCLA and USC women's basketball. UCLA 5.5-point favorites. Both of us chose USC. Both of us were correct. 80-70, USC won.
And USC went on to beat Stanford in the championship game.
So they're the Pac-12 or what are they still Pac-12?
The final Pac-12 champion.
Trivia question.
Yeah, there you go.
Milwaukee Bucks were 3-point favorites over the Clippers on Friday. Both of us chose the Milwaukee Bucks, and they did win 124-117. Finally, yesterday, Aztecs women's basketball played San Jose State. Minus 10.5 was the spread for the Aztecs women's. You chose the Aztecs, Chris. I chose San Jose State, and they won by 21 points, the Aztecs women, 72-51.
Yeah, they dominated that game. You never had a chance. The Aztecs were up by 13 in the first quarter and never looked back.
So much for San Jose State playing the Aztecs tough. Anyway.
Yeah, they played them tough during the regular season, but I think I went 5-0. I hate to say it.
Did you
go back up and down the list there?
Let me see. You got.
I don't think I lost the one.
Boise is correct. USD is correct. USC is correct. But wow, good job. Good job. That's
5-0.
Good. Here's one bet that I want to talk about.
I should go to Vegas. Oh, I am in Vegas.
Well, you should definitely be betting tonight. What are you talking about?
Really? I'm hot.
Real quick, before we get into your bets, because I know you have an Aztecs women's basketball line, but the Players Championship, the fifth major, as you know, Chris, is on Thursday. Starts on Thursday. Scottie Scheffler ran away with the Bay Hill Invitational yesterday. So he's on top, plus 500 for the winner. Rory McIlroy is second, plus 1,200. Here's what I find interesting. Xander Schauffele, I can't remember, is always high up on these lists to win plus 2,000. Also, Justin Thomas to win plus 2,000. Those are two guys I may put some money down on to win. Victor Hovland plus 2,500. I could see those are some good bets, but you are, again, as Chris always says, you're picking a needle out of a haystack when you're trying to pick a winner of a golf tournament.
You know, I really want to love Xander Schauffele. I mean, he's an Aztec, San Diego, the whole thing. But this guy, I mean, he's like a tease, Scrape. I mean, I hate to say it, but he's always highly ranked. He's always, you know, one of the favorites to win. And he's always in contention.
Mm-hmm. He is.
But on Sunday, at the end of the day, he's never picking up the trophy.
That is true. He finished 25th yesterday.
That's the problem with Xander. He always gives you a run for your money, but he never wins you your money. That's my thing with him. He's got to break through.
He does.
This guy's got to break through. I mean, you know, Scheffler was like Xander for a while.
Yeah.
Now Scheffler's, he win, win, win.
Well, that's what they're saying about him. If he wins the big, he's already won the Olympics. So if he wins the big,
Xander won that one?
Oh, he didn't win it, but he also, or did he win it? I think he may have won the gold medal.
He might have won the gold medal. But on the tour, unfortunately, more times than not, Xander comes up short.
Yeah.
He's a highly ranked player. You don't get good odds with him. He's always in the lead at the end of the first round. And by Sunday, he's trying to dig himself out of a trap somewhere.
Literally.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you got?
All right. I got, let's start with the Aztec women tonight. They got the quarterfinals of the Mountain West tournament. They're playing New Mexico. New Mexico's the 2 seed. The Aztecs are a 7 seed, but we already discussed this last week. The Aztecs actually tied for 4th, but because of tiebreakers, they ended up with a 7 seed. This is the 4th time in the last 5 years that these teams have met in the quarterfinals. Last year in the quarterfinals, the Aztecs beat New Mexico by 1 point. These teams always seem to play close games. New Mexico is favored by 4 tonight in the quarterfinal over the Aztecs. I can tell you, Scrabe, if the Aztec women play anything like they played last night against San Jose, they will win this game outright. So I will take the Aztecs. I hope they play as well. They really looked good last night, but New Mexico is a different animal. New Mexico is awfully good.
You know what, Chris? I think that you lit a fire. You got them to want to get into the women's tournament so that they could play Iowa or something like that, or LSU.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going to say Aztecs.
All right,
there you go.
Well, they need 3 more to get all the way to the NCAA tournament, but we'll see if they can get this one tonight. All right, on the men's side, we got the West Coast Conference semifinals. They're here in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
First game up is St. Mary's, 11.5 over Santa Clara. St. Mary's had a long winning streak. They've been unbelievably good ever since the Aztecs beat them back in December. But Santa Clara, their men's team, is staying in our hotel here in Las Vegas.
Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, our breakfast meeting room is right next to their breakfast meeting room.
Oh, wow.
So I'm kind of into Santa Clara. I'm going to take them since they're in my hotel.
And they're
plus
they're,
the 11.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take plus the 11.5, too, because that's a lot for a semifinal game.
Yeah, but St. Mary's has been blowing everybody out.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Here, what's up next, baby?
The other one is Zaga against the San Francisco Dons, otherwise known as USF. And the Zags are a 9.5-point favorite over your Dons.
I'll go first.
I know you're going to take the Dons, but
here's my explanation.
What do you got?
They've played Gonzaga now. This will be their third time playing Gonzaga this year. Gonzaga is on a down year. The Dons have had a pretty strong year outside of a few eek losses. I think they're going to win this because they know their way into the tournament is by winning the West Coast Conference Tournament. I think they got it in the third and not rubber match, but they're going to take the third game against the Zags.
All right, I'm going to take Gonzaga because, number one, you're correct. Gonzaga's had a down year, but Gonzaga has had a hot month of March and late February. They blew out St. Mary's to end their winning streak a couple of weeks ago. Gonzaga lives for this time of year, and they're not in the tournament themselves without a good showing in this West Coast Conference. So Gonzaga has a lot to play for. They're starting to put it together at the right time. I'll take Gonzaga.
It doesn't help that I went back to their last game that they played, and it was at home, and they got blown out 86-68 by Gonzaga. When they were playing up in Washington, it was a five-point game. Zaga wins.
Yeah, the first game, yeah. San Francisco was, to me, San Francisco is about as good now as they were then. But Gonzaga, to me, is a lot better now than they were then.
I'm not going to be mad at that.
See what happens. Denver Nuggets, 15.5 over Toronto in Denver tonight.
Whoa, what's happened to Toronto?
Toronto's fallen completely apart. They traded some of their good players at the trade deadline. They're rebuilding. Denver's running away with everything. I'll take Denver.
Okay.
Even though that's a lot of points for an NBA game.
I am going to go the other way.
You're going to take all those points.
Yeah. I'm going to go what you think, the opposite of what I usually do.
Yeah, that you're being a George now. You're going the opposite. George Costanza.
Basically, every time you mention something, I am kind of George Costanza. I've realized it.
Yeah, you really are. And that's not a terrible thing. George is very well loved.
Yes, but he's also annoyed and hated too.
Also neurotic as hell, and that is that's where you crawl into the category with him.
Yes.
Phoenix -6.5 at Cleveland. Suns on the road. I don't know what happened to Cleveland. I guess Donovan Mitchell got hurt and they've been struggling a little bit, but Phoenix is going to go on the road and still giving 6.5 points here, Scrape. What about you?
I'm going to go Phoenix.
You're going to give the points this time.
Yes.
Okay. Home underdogs. It's the oldest trick in the book when it comes to sports betting. Bet home underdogs. So I'll go with the oldest trick in the book. I'll take Cleveland +6.5.
All right. Is that it?
That's our daily gambit for today.
All right, nice job, Chris.
Yeah. Chris, you know, I just want everybody to know I'm so committed to this segment, I actually flew to Las Vegas just for this segment.
It's very strong. Thank you very much for doing that.
My pleasure.
When we get back, Chris is going to be doing that shuffling thing that Tony does from time to time, and we are going to talk about some of the biggest free agency news in the NFL. It's been crazy. So we'll catch you up on the latest here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.3 The Fan, Matt Scravey. I'm going to be weaving my way in and out of recorded segments with Chris Ello, so never fear. We have some brand new sports talk for you as we keep going throughout the show. And if you are a YouTube viewer, you just were treated to something special in the break. I did not know how to use my computer, and I ended up unmuting myself so everybody could hear me say something. I don't even remember what I said. I don't think I'm going to get fired for it. But if you are a YouTube person, or if you want to go watch on YouTube, you should go search 97.3 The Fan. You never, ever know what's going to happen when the mics are on, or off, I mean, off. That's actually maybe my worst nightmare of all time, is to be caught on a hot mic saying something that's going to get me fired. That's why I'm really, really careful about what I say in studio. Apparently, I was talking about the devil. That's not outside the realm of possibility for me. But, oh, Chance says I was talking bleep about him. Maybe I was, Chance. Maybe I was. You never know. You're the biggest Bowmel defender out there. Ha ha. He's not going to like that. All right. So we have Padres Pen Pals coming up here in about 15 minutes or so. Chris and I went through and answered some questions from some of the fans out there. But right now, we are going to quickly update you on what's going on with the NFL free agency. And it's been fast and furious today. It has been insanity today. And here's why. Kirk Cousins going to, who just came into the room with me, Adam Klug's Atlanta Falcons. Now, the contract is worth $180 million over 4 years. Adam, what? So I texted you. I said, Kirk Cousins, ? And you said, yes, like you were excited. Tell me why you're excited about Kirk Cousins as your quarterback.
I mean, I come in here and we're talking Falcons football. I mean, come on.
Yes, we are talking Falcons football. It's
Padres
just for you.
Roster moves. Blake Snell's got eyeball emojis, and this is what, and people want to hear about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons.
I do, because I have you in the room right here, and you are a Falcons fan. So quickly, give me your thoughts. Why are you okay with this?
I mean, Kirk Cousins has played like basically a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. As long, he tore his Achilles week 8 of last year. As long as he's healthy, he's the best quarterback the Falcons have had in a long, long time.
Matt Ryan? Is that the last guy?
Yeah, that's the last guy. He was 3 years ago, and towards the end, he wasn't that good. So, I mean, they've kind of wandered through the wilderness the last few years with Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke. So, this is good news.
Good point.
If he's healthy.
If he's healthy. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. I think it's a good move for the Falcons. I think he can throw the ball. Maybe Kyle Pitts will finally show something for once in his career that he can. Or at least maybe they'll finally throw the ball to him for once in his career.
But, yeah, you and I have commiserated over Kyle Pitts' fantasy football disappointment for the last couple of
years. Just so much disappointment. The Eagles, on the other hand, they have found a new running back because DeAndre Swift is going to the Bears. So he will be with the, I almost said National League Central, but the NFC Central. And Saquon Barkley, former Giant, in-season rival, signs with the Eagles for a 3-year deal worth $37.75 million. He can earn up to $46.75 million. This is a really dangerous signing, I think, for the Eagles. Dangerous as in they're going to be dangerous, because I feel like Saquon Barkley just needed to be out in a place where he was maybe joined by some guys who can actually play at the NFL level. So I think this is awesome for Saquon and for the Eagles, I hate to say. We talked about it a little bit earlier. The Raiders are signing Christian Wilkins away from the Miami Dolphins. The 4-year deal is worth up to $110 million with reportedly $84 million guaranteed, which is insane. So the Dolphins get weaker. Packers, they add Josh Jacobs to their backfield, which is kind of interesting because Aaron Jones is still there on a big contract.
They're releasing Aaron Jones.
They are.
Yes.
I did not know that they were releasing it. Well, that makes more sense than anything. 4-year deal worth $48 million. AJ, I was just assuming that AJ Dillon was going to be gone. And so AJ Dillon's been the guy who's kind of like the change of pace back for the Packers the last couple of years, but he's kind of struggled. Colts agree to a deal with Michael Pittman Jr. He's going to be a rich man, 3 years, $71.5 million, blah, 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 blah. That's basically the biggest ones of the day. So we will keep an eye on this. And keep in mind, Chris, Braden, and I are scheduled, it could change, but scheduled to be doing a first-round draft show here on the station. So make sure you keep an ear out for that. I forgot where Gardner mentioned. Minshew's going. Tony Pollard's also going to the Titans.
Minshew to the Raiders.
Minshew to the Raiders. I don't think that's going to help you much, but sure. Gardner Minshew is a great quarterback once you're once your starter gets hurt. He's a great fill-in quarterback for the rest of the season. So there you go. Adam mentioned the Blake Snell eyeball post from over the weekend. And so maybe this is good that Adam's in here, because I think I understand what happened, but I don't necessarily think I understand the full thing. So he put up these eyeball emojis on his Instagram, right? His Instagram story. And they were brown and gold, the eye colors. Is that correct, Adam? Is that what I'm gathering from this whole thing?
That's correct. And both you and I are both Android users.
We are.
And so I learned something new the weekend about what you're about to explain regards to this.
Well, then, of course, because anything that's put on social media that has anything to do with the team's colors, people go crazy for. And so there were people like, wow, this means, look, Blake Snell's re-signing with the Padres, or is heading back to San Diego. He's got one brown eye. He's got a gold eye. It's Padres colors. He chose those for a reason. And you know what? We found out someone replied to that tweet on 97.3 The Fan and said, iPhones always have the color brown and gold in the eyes. And so it means nothing really towards the Padres. It's just a generic emoji that he threw up. But I can't say. I think he's getting close to signing somewhere. And as Scott Miller said, and we talked about briefly, Gerrit Cole, if he's out for long term, I think that they're going to bring they're going to bring Blake Snell back in. I don't see any way around it for the Yankees.
I know that Padres fans got excited over the weekend because of the brown and gold, but I think they have to get Blake Snell out of their heads right now, right? Because of the CBT, and regardless of if they have money left to spend or not, he's not signing a deal for less than the AAV of, let's say, $25 million minimum, and that's not going to fit into the Padres' budget. So,
yeah. Diego Drip says, bro, what are you talking about? That's a stretch. I didn't do any stretching on this whole thing. This was put together by the fine Padres fans out there and listeners to the 97.3 The Fan station. They were the ones who came to that conclusion. It was not Adam nor I, Mr. Diego Drip. Chances, iPhone eyes are black and white. I mean, I don't have an iPhone, so what am I going to do? I can't check it, and I don't care to check it because iPhone hates Android, but that's not what we're doing here. We are about to head into Padres Pen Pals is what we're doing, and during Padres Pen Pals, we talked about, a few weeks ago, there was someone who wrote in asking for advice on a sober game, going to a sober Padres game, and so someone else messaged me and asked us a question about that. Also, someone asked, is the lefty-righty thing really that big of a deal? Like, is pitching and hitting, is that matchup and combination, is that really a big deal? Also, the schedule of spring training came up in Padres Pen Pal. So we'll have all of that. Chris is going to be back answering questions that you asked us here on 97.3 The Fan. If you love Mediterranean food, ooh, I love this. Sorry, everybody in the camera didn't get to see that because it's not back to break yet. But if you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla for dining or takeout options. Visit spiroscuisine.com. Now, I just saw a tweet on MLB Network that the Gerrit Cole for the Yankees, his prognosis is unknown at the moment, and they're not going to figure it out until, you know, he's scheduled to have an MRI. So his season, and if I'm a Yankees fan, I'm very nervous about Gerrit Cole. He was awesome last year. He won the Cy Young. He was made every one of his starts. Surprised to see that Gerrit Cole is doing this in spring training because of he's just a horse, as they call some starting pitchers out there. He's just a guy who takes the ball and just goes. So it's got to be for the Yankees themselves. Brian Cashman's got to be a little scared about everything. So, innings leader since the start of 2017, Gerrit Cole has pitched the most innings in baseball, 1,279 over Aaron Nola. So that is that's some crazy stuff right there. And I don't even know if I should say it, but I'm going to knock on all the wood. Things in spring training are so much better for the Padres this year than they were last year. Just absolutely 100% so much better. We were talking about kettlebells last year. No one wants to talk about kettlebells this year, and we're not going to talk about kettlebells this year. Jocelyn just said, ha ha, I just got a selfie with Tony in the booth. That is awesome. Jocelyn asked earlier if it would be too much for me to message Tony and have him hang out of the booth so that she could take a selfie with him. And I didn't get to do that. So I'm glad that you got your picture, Jocelyn. That's good stuff. Chance says Lucas Giolito undergoing right elbow surgery, ending his first year with the Red Sox. We kind of touched on that last week. Diego Drip also has an eyeball that he sent over here, because if you missed the last segment, Blake Snell Instagrammed out some eyeball emoji and it got all the Padres fans all ready to go. Lucas Giolito. That is someone that the Padres were in on. And you got to think, maybe it's a good thing that the Padres weren't able to spend a bunch of money this offseason, because they would possibly, maybe, get a guy like Lucas Giolito. And I'm not saying that he's a bad pitcher. I'm not saying that he's a great pitcher, but he's not going to pitch for the rest of the season. And so that could have been a Padres problem to worry about. And it's not. Padres are, the more I'm hearing from spring training about the pitching and about some of the guys they got back in that Juan Soto trade, I really think the Padres put themselves in a good spot. And again, we have to see what happens during the season, because I am told every single day that spring training does not matter. But I am excited to see what these guys could do. I mean, Drew Thorpe is pitching tomorrow. And if he hasn't been put or reassigned to minor league camps yet, I got to think that there's some possibility that he's going to open the season on the opening day roster, or at least be part of that taxi squad. And I guess it's a more of a jet squad, because you can't take a taxi to Korea. But there's you could take 31 players, or you have 31 players that you could use while you're going overseas for this international game. And they're not exhibitions, they're actual games. So we'll talk about that more as we go along. All right, Padres Pen Pals was a good one. We have Chris. He is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about Jackson Merrill a little bit. We're going to talk about being at Padres games sober. It's not boring, I promise. But first, we need to check and make sure that you're going to get home with your traffic report.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, I'm going to keep saying this all day, Chris, but I just think that the closer we get to the season, the more excited I'm getting for baseball to begin. It always happens like this, I guess, but I'm very excited.
No, right around the corner.
Right around the corner, which means that we're going to have a full season of Padres Pen Pals. All of your crazy things that you want to hear the guys answer. Well, today it's going to be me, but throughout the season it will be Tony and Chris. But we're going to start with this one. And I just
it's
clicked the wrong
to
one.
Ask
I'm sorry.
The experts,
that's a total
fans.
Scraby right there. Here we go. There it is. Okay. Finally.
A jeez. Total Scraby.
Yeah. Pulling a Scraby over here.
I think we've got to call the Webster's Dictionary and see if we can get that put in as a new word.
And it's just
a new
me.
Phrase.
It's just me
a total
with my
Scraby.
Just me with my hand in my face, like the palm emoji, you know, face palm emoji.
Total Scraby.
So, do you remember a few weeks ago we had someone write in asking if they they were going to the game for the first time and they were so newly sober, and so they're asking for advice. Do you remember that by chance,
yeah.
Chris? All right. Well, someone messaged me about that, and they asked me if the Padres had any sober seating and whether or not I would like to sit in a sober seating section. So I quickly looked, and I don't see anything for Padres games. But I also want to make it clear, I don't really think there needs to be one. Maybe it's nice to have one, but my belief personally on everything, not just Padres games, you don't need to change what you do because I can't drink. But because that's all on me, really. Chris, would you enjoy a sober section?
Yeah, I'm old enough now, Scrape. I think I would.
Really?
Yeah, I think I am. I'll be honest with you. I went to the Aztec men's game on Friday night against Boise State. And I ended up leaving at halftime, honestly, because the fans behind me were too rowdy.
What?
Yeah. They were, well, part of it was I was in the Boise State section. That's where my ticket was.
Okay, well, that's a different
thing.
And
these fans were making me so angry that I honestly wanted to turn around and say something. I never did. But yeah, I'm to the point now where I wouldn't mind sitting back and being able to relax and enjoy a baseball game without some idiot who's had 50 beers, you know, screaming and yelling at the top of his lungs. So, but that's only just me sounding old. I get it.
I don't think so, though.
Well, I don't know, because you're going to a baseball game. I mean, you're not going to a library.
Yeah,
you know, you should expect some noise. You should expect some people there having fun and, you know, creating some crazy havoc. But I don't know. If they had a sober section, I don't think it's the worst idea I've ever heard, I hate to say. I think if you would have asked me this 20 years ago, I would have said you were ridiculous, but I'm gonna stick with my answer.
See, like, I don't care that they don't have one, but if they do have one, I may go sit there, because last couple times I've sat at games, I've had beer spilled on me, and I really don't want to seem like I'm coming off complaining, because I'm not. But it would be nice to sit next to someone, and instead of having beer breath, they have peanut breath or something.
It would be a nice change.
Yes. I said peanut, by the way. Just to
I know
make
you
sure.
Do.
Okay. All right. That is that. Now, our next one. I'm somewhat new to baseball and slowly learning the game. One thing people won't tell you, baseball has so much strategy in it that you never even really realize. One thing that I'm kind of worried about this year is the left-handed hitting the Padres have. Basically, Jake Cronenworth is the only one that can break up the top of the order, assuming you don't trust Jackson Merrill yet in that spot. But then I thought, Manny and Fernando are exceptional right-handed hitters, so maybe that cancels out the lefty-righty thing. Chris, how big of a deal in your mind is the lefty-righty thing when hitting?
I think it's a medium deal. It's not the biggest deal in the world, because as the question points out, if you've got Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, two great right-handed hitters, what do you want to do? Replace them with a left-handed hitter who's not as good?
Good point.
If you have nine Manny Ramirez or nine, you know, guys like Fernando Machado, and they're all right-handed, so what? Put them up. You know?
Yeah.
But it's nice to mix things up. And I can tell you, you know, in this day and age of specialized pitching, you know, a great left-handed reliever especially can come into a ball game in the sixth or seventh inning, and if he's facing six straight left-handed hitters, he might get them all out. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And so that's the problem that you have. It's not so much the start of the game, the starting pitchers. I think starting pitchers in general are there, you know, pretty equal against both sides. They're a little better against righties, are better against righties. Lefties are better against lefties. But it's when you get to the bullpen at the end of the game, you want to have that matchup in your favor as a hitter. And in your favor would be to have a right-hander facing a left-handed pitcher, et cetera. And the rules are such now that pitchers have to face three hitters when they come into a game, right?
Yep.
So if you have three straight right-handed hitters, I can bring a right-handed reliever in and he can face all three. Whereas if you have righty-righty, now he's got to face a lefty in the middle of that. So I get why teams are trying to, you know, organize their lineups with a mixture of righties and lefties. It makes sense. But I still think it's a medium deal, because I'd rather have a great right-handed hitter than a good left-handed hitter.
You know what? You stole all my thunder, but what did you say?
I'm sorry.
Did you? No, it's okay. I knew you were going to explain it much better than I would, but did you say that there's anything like physics tells us that the ball goes a different way versus lefty and righty? Did you say
I
that?
I don't know. I didn't.
Okay, good. Then I can add something to this conversation, Chris. That's all I got, though. Physics. When you're a lefty, it goes that way. When you're a righty, it goes that way.
What are you talking about?
The pitch. Like breaking pitches.
Breaking pitches break away from a left-handed batter if you're a left-handed pitcher?
Yeah, I'm just going to move on because I'm confusing myself. So we're just going to get...
You're confusing the whole situation.
Yes, we're just going to go to the next one as quickly as possible. And that one, the lefty-righty thing, I understand the strategy, but I am so confused on where the ball goes anyway. Again, I'm just going to move on. I'm a huge baseball nerd and love watching different broadcasts throughout the week. And yes, I even watch them during spring training. My question doesn't really necessarily have to do with the Padres, but it has to do with spring training and how it's run. The broadcaster I was watching said his least favorite part of spring training is all the early morning scrums. Basically, he said when most of your games are played primarily at night, why do all the early morning stuff do you think, or why do all the early morning stuff? Chris, do you think that actually matters? Or actually, it's me. I'll say it. Do you think that actually matters? Knowing baseball players, they are not morning creatures. And every time we've gone to spring training, all the baseball players say how they hate waking up early to do all their stuff. So it does, it is a little strange. I gotta say, it's a strange thing that they completely shift their schedule for the regular season right after they're done with spring training. Do I think it matters in the long run? No, but it is a little weird to me. What do you think, Chris?
I think this question's bringing up a reasonable point. To be honest with you.
Wow.
I mean, Major League Baseball players are totally creatures of habit. There's absolutely no question about that. They get used to a routine and a schedule. And their routine and schedule usually means they don't really begin their work day till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They get to the ballpark and they, you know, get ready for a ball game, take some hitting practice. And, you know, their game goes until 11 o'clock at night, or they get home at 11:30 or 12 o'clock. All of a sudden, in the month of March, their day goes from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. instead of from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So I think there is a little something to be said about it. The only thing I will point out is that in the NFL, you play most of your games in the daytime on a Sunday morning or afternoon, yet your entire exhibition season is a series of night games. So it's the opposite. In
that
the
is
NFL,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
Preseason games are almost always exclusively played at night, as opposed to the regular season games where you're playing mostly in the daytime. So I think these guys are world-class athletes. They ought to be able to handle it, and I think for the most part they do. But I think it's an interesting notion. Should baseball consider making all spring training games night games? Just to get everybody into the feel of what's coming up for the season.
I'm gonna petition Rob Manfred. So,
good luck with that, man.
He's gonna be like, "Yeah, I got your petition." Yeah.
I like the day games. It frees up my evenings, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, get to the bottom of a bottle. All right, one last quick one, and it was just this. What are you most excited for during Padres season? That's what the question was.
Okay.
Chris, what are you most excited for?
What am I most excited for?
Do you want me to go first, since I already knew and I had time to think about it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm most excited for... I want to see how the superstars on this team respond to a bad season. I want to see them, you know, dig in and have a winning season, have a playoff run, and show that they were signed for a reason. That's what I'm most excited to see, how these guys respond.
Okay. I guess I'm most excited to see if we can prove, this Padre team can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, that water really does find its level. You know, that's my favorite saying in baseball.
They broke physics last year, Chris.
Yeah, they totally broke physics last year. We waited all season for them to start getting some hits with runners in scoring position. We waited all season for them to start winning some one-run games. We waited all season for them to win a game in extra innings. And you know what? It never happened.
It never happened.
All of a sudden, the season was over, and they had some of the worst statistics in those categories that baseball's ever seen.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see, you know, them play a couple of extra inning games the first week of the season, get a couple of walk-off wins.
Ooh.
I think they only had one of those last year at the very beginning of the season. I know maybe they had one really late, but remember they had the walk-off win like in their second home game?
Yes.
And they never had another one till late September, if at all.
I do remember that.
So I'm looking forward to some of that kind of excitement this year. A little magic in the favor of the Padres, because they didn't create any of it last year.
None of it.
None.
All right. Thank you to all the Padres pen pallers. When we get back, something's going to happen, Chris. I've been trying to hit this bed for like the last five minutes. There it goes.
Oh, there we go.
Whew. I was like, all right, are we going to have to cut this off? But anyway, we get Matt. Man, can I not speak or what? When we get back, we will talk more. Gwen and Chris, Padres. Also, we have some tickets to give away. So stay tuned on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now, on 97.3 The Fan.
Oh, I'm going to keep saying this all day, Chris, but I just think that the closer we get to the season, the more excited I'm getting for baseball to begin. It always happens like this, I guess, but I'm very excited.
No, right around the corner.
Right around the corner, which means that we're going to have a full season of Padres Pen Pals. All of your crazy things that you want to hear the guys answer. Well, today it's going to be me, but throughout the season it will be Tony and Chris. But we're going to start with this one. And I just clicked the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's a total scraby right there. Here we go. There it is. There it is. Okay. Finally.
Total scraby.
Yeah. Pulling a scraby over here.
I think we've got a call. The Webster's Dictionary, and see if we can get that put in as a new word.
And it's just
a new
me. Phrase. It's just me
total
with my
scraby.
Just me with my hand in my face, like the palm emoji. You know, face palm emoji.
Total scraby.
So we do you remember a few weeks ago we had someone write in asking if they they were going to the game for the first time and they were so newly sober and so they're asking for advice. Do you remember that by chance,
yeah.
Chris? All right, well. Someone messaged me about that and they asked me if the Padres had any sober seating and whether or not I would like to sit in a sober seating section. So I quickly looked and I don't see anything for Padres games, but I also want to make it clear. I don't really think there needs to be one. Maybe it's nice to have one, but my belief personally on everything, not just Padres games, you don't need to change what you do because I can't drink, but because that's all on me, really. Chris, would you enjoy a sober section?
Yeah, I'm old enough now, Scrape. I think I would.
Really?
Yeah, I think I am. I'll be honest with you. I went to the Aztec men's game on Friday night against Boise State. And I ended up leaving at halftime, honestly, because the fans behind me were too rowdy.
What?
Yeah. They were, well, part of it was I was in the Boise State section. That's where my ticket was.
Okay, well, that's a different
and they
thing.
Were, these fans were making me so angry that I honestly wanted to turn around and say something. I never did. But yeah, I'm to the point now where I wouldn't mind sitting back and being able to relax and enjoy a baseball game without some idiot who's had 50 beers, you know, screaming and yelling at the top of his lungs. So, but that's only just me sounding old. I get it.
You're I don't think so, though.
Well, I don't know, because you're going to a baseball game. I mean, you're not going to a library.
Yeah,
you know, you should expect some noise. You should expect some people there having fun and, you know, creating some crazy havoc. But I don't know. If they had a sober section, I don't think it's the worst idea I've ever heard, I hate to say. I think if you would have asked me this 20 years ago, I would have said you were ridiculous, but I'm gonna stick with my answer.
See, like, I don't care that they don't have one, but if they do have one, I may go sit there because last couple times I've sat at games, I've had beer spilled on me, and I really don't want to seem like I'm coming off complaining because I'm not. But it would be nice to sit next to someone, and instead of having beer breath, they have peanut breath or something.
It would be a nice change.
Yes. I said peanut, by the way. Just to
I know
make
you
sure.
Do.
Okay. All right. That is that. Now, our next one. I'm somewhat new to baseball and slowly learning the game. One thing people won't tell you, baseball has so much strategy in it that you never even really realize. One thing that I'm kind of worried about this year is the left-handed hitting the Padres have. Basically, Jake Cronenworth is the only one that can break up the top of the order, assuming you don't trust Jackson Merrill yet in that spot. But then I thought, Manny and Fernando are exceptional right-handed hitters, so maybe that cancels out the lefty-righty thing. Chris, how big of a deal in your mind is the lefty-righty thing when hitting?
I think it's a medium deal. Yeah, it's not the biggest deal in the world because, as the question points out, if you've got Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado, two great right-handed hitters, what do you want to do? Replace them with a left-handed hitter who's not as good?
Good point.
I mean, you know, I mean, if guys, if you have nine Manny Ramirez or nine, you know, guys like Fernando Machado, and they're all right-handed, so what? Put them up. You know?
Yeah.
But it's nice to mix things up. And I can tell you, you know, in this day and age of specialized pitching, you know, a great left-handed reliever especially can come into a ball game in the sixth or seventh inning, and if he's facing six straight left-handed hitters, he might get them all out. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And so that's the problem that you have. It's not so much the start of the game, the starting pitchers. I think starting pitchers in general are there, you know, pretty equal against both sides. They're a little better against righties, are better against righties. Lefties are better against lefties. But it's when you get to the bullpen at the end of the game, you want to have that matchup in your favor as a hitter. And in your favor would be to have a right-hander facing a left-handed pitcher, et cetera. And the rules are such now that pitchers have to face three hitters when they come into a game, right?
Yep.
So if you have three straight right-handed hitters, I can bring a right-handed reliever in and he can face all three. Whereas if you have righty-righty, now he's got to face a lefty in the middle of that. So I get why teams are trying to, you know, organize their lineups with a mixture of righties and lefties. It makes sense. But I still think it's a medium deal because I'd rather have a great right-handed hitter than a good left-handed hitter.
You know what? You stole all my thunder, but what did you say?
I'm sorry.
Did you? No, it's okay. I knew you were going to explain it much better than I would, but did you say that there's anything like physics tells us that the ball goes a different way versus lefty and righty? Did you say
I
that?
I don't know. I didn't.
Okay, good. Then I can add something to this conversation, Chris. That's all I got, though. Physics. When you're physics. A lefty, it goes that way. When you're a righty, it goes that way.
What are you talking about?
The pitch. Like breaking pitches.
Breaking pitches break away from a left-handed batter if you're a left-handed pitcher?
Yeah, I'm just going to move on because I'm confusing myself. So we're just going to get...
You're confusing the whole situation.
Yes, we're just going to go to the next one as quickly as possible. And that one, the lefty-righty thing, I understand the strategy, but I am so confused on where the ball goes anyway. Again, I'm just going to move on. I'm a huge baseball nerd and love watching different broadcasts throughout the week. And yes, I even watch them during spring training. My question doesn't really necessarily have to do with the Padres, but it has to do with spring training and how it's run. The broadcaster I was watching said his least favorite part of spring training is all the early morning scrums. Basically, he said when most of your games are played primarily at night, why do all the early morning stuff do you think, or why do all the early morning stuff? Chris, do you think that actually matters? Or actually, it's me. I'll say it. Do you think that actually matters? Knowing baseball players, they are not morning creatures. And every time we've gone to spring training, all the baseball players say how they hate waking up early to do all their stuff. So it is a little strange. I gotta say, it's a strange thing that they completely shift their schedule for the regular season right after they're done with spring training. Do I think it matters in the long run? No, but it is a little weird to me. What do you think, Chris?
I think this question's bringing up a reasonable point. To be honest with you.
Wow.
I mean, Major League Baseball players are totally creatures of habit. There's absolutely no question about that. They get used to a routine and a schedule. And their routine and schedule usually means they don't really begin their work day till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They get to the ballpark and they, you know, get ready for a ball game, take some hitting practice. And, you know, their game goes until 11 o'clock at night, or they get home at 11:30 or 12 o'clock. All of a sudden, in the month of March, their day goes from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. instead of from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m.
Yeah.
So I think there is a little something to be said about it. The only thing I will point out is that in the NFL, you play most of your games in the daytime on a Sunday morning or afternoon, yet your entire exhibition season is a series of night games. So it's the opposite in
that
the NFL,
true.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Preseason games are almost always exclusively played at night as opposed to the regular season games where you're playing mostly in the daytime. So I think these guys are world-class athletes. They ought to be able to handle it, and I think for the most part they do. But I think it's an interesting notion. Should baseball consider making all spring training games night games just to get everybody into the feel of what's coming up for the season?
I'm gonna petition Rob Manfred. So,
good luck with that, man.
He's gonna be like, "Yeah, I got your petition." Yeah.
I like the day games. It frees up my evenings, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, get to the bottom of a bottle. All right, one last quick one, and it was just this. What are you most excited for during Padres season? That's what the question was.
Okay.
Chris, what are you most excited for?
What am I most excited for?
Do you want me to go first since I already knew and I had time to think about it?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm most excited for... I want to see how the superstars on this team respond to a bad season. I want to see them, you know, dig in and have a winning season, have a playoff run, and show that they were signed for a reason. That's what I'm most excited to see, how these guys respond.
Okay. I guess I'm most excited to see if we can prove, this Padre team can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that water really does find its level.
that's my
favorite saying in baseball.
They broke physics last year, Chris.
Yeah, they totally broke physics last year. We waited all season for them to start getting some hits with runners in scoring position. We waited all season for them to start winning some one-run games. We waited all season for them to win a game in extra innings. And you know what? It never happened.
It never happened.
All of a sudden, the season was over, and they had some of the worst statistics in those categories that baseball's ever seen.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see, you know, them play a couple of extra inning games the first week of the season, get a couple of walk-off wins.
Ooh.
I think they only had one of those last year at the very beginning of the season. I know maybe they had one really late, but remember they had the walk-off win like in their second home game?
Yes.
And they never had another one till late September, if at all.
I do remember that.
So I'm looking forward to some of that kind of excitement this year. A little magic in the favor of the Padres, because they didn't create any of it last year.
None of it.
None.
All right. Thank you to all the Padres pen pallers. When we get back, something's going to happen, Chris. I've been trying to hit this bed for like the last five minutes. There it goes.
Oh, there we go.
Whew. I was like, all right, are we going to have to cut this off? But anyway, we get Matt. Man, can I not speak or what? When we get back, we will talk more Gwen and Chris, Padres. Also, we have some tickets to give away, so stay tuned on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.